Erevin Daf Sadi Zain. We are starting on Sadi Vavam Beis with the words Amar Rav Elazar. We just began the 10th and final parak of Masechta Erevin. Hamotzi Tfilin, somebody who finds Tfilin and they're out in the field and you want to bring them back from the field into the house. The problem, of course, is that it's Shabbos and one is not allowed to carry. So can you put the Tfilin on and wear them back home again? So that is the Mishnah's discussion and a machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel. Tana Kama says that you can do so one pair at a time. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, you can do so two pair at a time. We spent a good part of yesterday's daf discussing the machlokus between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Gamliel, exactly what the Nekuda machlokus is. So that was yesterday's daf. We're still in yesterday's daf. We're finishing up from yesterday, Sadi Vavam and Beis. And the Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent regarding Tchelis and Tzitzis. But the reason why it comes up over here is because our Mishnah may inform us on the halacha regarding tzitzis and tchelis. Amar Rav Elazar, we pick it up. Hamotzi tchelis b'shuk. So let's say you find tchelis in the shuk, you find tchelis in the marketplace. So just as a brief background, so we know that with the mitzvah of tzitzis, so coming along with it also is that some of the strings need to be dyed blue, the color of tchelis. How many strings need to be dyed blue? Machlokas Rishonim. But nevertheless, so the halacha is that a number of them need to be dyed blue. Bizmanenu nowadays, so we're unsure in terms of what is the animal that produces a tchelis, although the truth of the matter is that tchelis is now making a revival, it's making a comeback, as there has been a lot of evidence that would indicate that maybe we have in fact rediscovered the correct animal in which produces tchelis. But meanwhile, notwithstanding, the halacha is that from the strict letter of the law, so tchelis, the tzitzis need to be colored tchelis. They need to be dyed with the tchelis dye. On top of that, there's also another very basic halacha, and that is that when you are dyeing the tzitzis with the color of tchelis, it has to be done lishma. So that means to say that you must know that when the person went ahead and did the processing of dyeing, so he dyed it for the purpose of tzitzis, it has to be done lishma. So over here, Rav Elazar goes over the following halacha, and that is, what if you find strips of wool, and it happens to be that it's dyed tchelis? Other places in Shas, the Gemara is worried because there is a counterfeit dye, which is called Kala Ilan, indigo, which is the same exact color as the tchelis. And in other places, the Gemara is worried about this counterfeit because it really does look like tchelis. Over here, the Gemara does not seem to be concerned with it at all. And certainly a worthwhile endeavor to understand why the Gemara over here is not concerned with it. But nevertheless, the issue is that when you are looking at this wool that's dyed tchelis, was it done lishma, yes or no? So the answer is, of course, we don't know. In other words, it was found. So Rav Elazar is going to make the following distinction. Lishonos psulos chutin ksherin. So if you find strips of wool, so that's no good because the strips of wool, so the chances are is that it was dyed just simply because it was going to be used as a article of clothing. And it happens to be that whoever saw the tchelis really liked it, and so dyed this clothing not to be used at tzitzis, but just simply to be used as clothing. And so therefore, it lacks the lishman, therefore it's no good. However, if it's chutim, but if you find strings, so you're finding now wool strings, and it's dyed with the tchelis color, so kosher. So that means to say that now you could safely assume that it was dyed for the purpose of tzitzis, and now you can use the string that we found for tzitzis. So the Gemara wants to understand this a little bit better. Mishnah Lashonos. I don't understand. Strips of wool that's dyed tchelis, the amar, adaita deglim tzavinu. So it's because there's a real possibility that it was dyed for the purposes of clothing. So chutinami, nema adaita deglim tzavinu. And so when it comes to strings, so why aren't we worried about the same thing, that it was dyed for the purposes of clothing? And it wasn't dyed for the purpose of tzitzis, and it lacks the element of lishma. So the Gemara's response is b'shazurim. So the Gemara says, no, it's twisted. And that means to say that tzitzis are typically twisted. And so over here, not only did you find wool strings that are dyed with the tchelis, but on top of that, they're also twisted. And so therefore, you have a lot of evidence which would seem to suggest that this was, in fact, meant to be used for tzitzis. So the Gemara says, shazurim nami nema daite de sifsa de glima aifina. So the Gemara says, even though it is strings and even though it is twisted, nevertheless, it could be used for the edge of clothing. In other words, there still is a possibility that you could use it for clothing. So the Gemara says, bim mufsakin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over here it was cut into pieces that are typically the size of tzitzis. So now we have a tremendous amount of evidence, overwhelming amount of evidence, that would seem to indicate that this particular wool string, that not only are strings, but also are twisted and also cut to size, and so therefore would seem to indicate that they were meant to be dyed as tzitzis, and as a result of that, one can assume that they are kosher. People don't go through the trouble of doing all that unless they plan on using it for tzitzis. Good. So this is the argument of the Gemara, significantly modifying the case, but that's nevertheless the argument that when you have something that really looks like tzitzis, chances are it's tzitzis. Not only chances are it's tzitzis, but the halacha allows you to assume that in fact it was meant to be designed as tzitzis, and therefore you have the dyeing of the tzitzis that is done lishma. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava v'chi adam tarech lasos kameya kemitfilin." So he says, "Okay, now let's go to our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we noted that in the Mishnah, so picking up the tefillin, putting them on, and bringing them back home again. So the Mishnah made a distinction between new tefillin and old tefillin. Now, when it comes to new tefillin, as we presented the Mishnah yesterday, so the concern regarding new tefillin is that it's very possible that it's not a tefillin, but it's actually an amulet." An amulet, which is a leather pouch with written in it some psukim, some tefillos, and obviously those aren't tefillin. And so, because they're brand new, and because the possibility exists that it's the kameya, not tefillin, so therefore you can't carry it. So the Gemara says, now, did not, we learned in our mission, b'medvar mamurim b'yishenos avah b'chadash was pater. So when can I go ahead and put the tefillin on in order to bring them back home? Well, that's only if they're old tefillin, meaning clearly evident that they're tefillin. But if they're brand new, and it's a possibility is that it is a kameya, so then you can't bring it back on Shabbos. And so what do we see over here? What we see over here is that is there a real likelihood that someone is going to take an amulet and shape it like tefillin? So the Gemara says it's really unlikely, and yet it's a consideration. So the Gemara says, so we have to say the same thing regarding our strings of tzitzis. Meaning, the chances are it's tzitzis, but there's still a possibility that it wasn't dyed for the purposes of tzitzis. So, our Mishnah over here would seem to go against what Rav Elazar taught us. So, I'm Reb Zera la'ava b'rei. So, Reb Zera says to his son, Ava, poktani luhu. So, he says, I want you to teach the following, and that is, emotzi tchelis b'shuk. Here we have a b'raisa. The b'raisa says that if I find wool that's dyed, so l'shonos psulim, if it's strips of wool, so then it's no good. However, chutim uvsakim ksherim lefishena adam tarech. But the Brisa says, but if I find strings, and the strings are muvsakim, they're cut to size, so then they're going to be kasher. So ein adam tarech, meaning a person's not going to go through the trouble of having strings cut to size. Interesting, the Brisa over here doesn't add the point of shizurim. But nevertheless, you see over here that if you have a preponderance of evidence that would indicate that it sits us, so then it sits us. And don't worry, nobody's going to be making this. No one's going to be Torech only so that something will look like tzitzis. If it looks enough like tzitzis, so then we can assume it's tzitzis. So the Gemara says, so we have a brisa. So I'm a Rava. So Rava says, I'm just simply unimpressed. And we shouldn't nile ava bere de Rabbi Zera. Kipi talala. So, okay, good. So you have a brisa. So now what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to put a crown on it? Okay, and yes, it's very sharp language, meaning the brisa is not going to move me one way or another. I don't think just because we have a brisa that necessarily is going to negate the simple understanding of our Mishnah. And he says, and let's go over the simple understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if I find brand new tefillin, and the possibility is, albeit it's a small possibility, but the possibility is that really it's a kameya, and the fashioner of the kameya just simply had it look like tefillin, so therefore we do say that adam tarech, that a person is going to go through the trouble of making a kameya in the shape of tefillin, and so therefore what I'm looking at right now, I don't know if it's tefillin. So we have the Mishnah, and I know you quoted me a brisa, but okay, I'm not moved by the brisa. So Alam Rava tarech velo tarech tanahi. So Rava says, here's what I'll give you. I'll give you that this idea that a person is going to go through the tircha of making a kameya and having it look like tefillin, whether or not that's something that we should concern ourselves with, or something that we should not concern ourselves with. So he says, I'll tell you that it's a machlokas tanaim de tanya. Hamotzi tol machnisim zugzog, echadish ve'echadisha, echachadashos ve'echadisha, as divrei Rebbe Meir. So this brisa tells us that when I find tefillin, so I can bring them in one pair at a time. Again, like Rashi said back in the Mishnah, one pair means the shal yad and the shal rosh, and it doesn't matter if it's a man who finds it, a woman who finds it, whether it's new or whether it's old, according to Rabbi Meir, so then you can bring it back in again. And Rabbi Yehuda, Osir b'chadash osamati b'yishanos. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, new tefillin you can't, and an old tefillin you can bring in. So Alma, so what do we see over here? Marsav v'tarachinish or marsav lo tarachinish. So what is at the core of the debate over here is whether a person's going to be tarach or a person's not going to be tarach. Meaning that Rabbi Meir Shita, the first Shita of this Brisa, of the position, that you can bring in new and you can bring in old. Aye, the new ones could be a Kameya. Isn't it possible that someone's going to go through the trouble of having a Kameya look just like tefillin? So Rabbi Meir says, no, I'm not worried about that. Masha'en Kein Shita's Rabbi Yehuda that says that if it's a new pair and it's a strong possibility that it actually is a Kameya, so obviously Rabbi Yehuda is the person that Adam Tarech, that a person would in fact go through the trouble of making a Kameya, having it look exactly like tefillin. So where Rava lands on this issue is that whether or not Adam Tarech and Adam Tarech, it comes out to be a machlokas ha tanaim between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Just as a quick observation, Rav Meir's position over here is a little bit strange in that it seems to be inconsistent with Rav Meir's general position. Rav Meir throughout Shas is choshish lemiyuta. He's worried about small percentages, small probabilities. And meanwhile, over here, even though there is a chance that a person is going to go through the trouble of making a kamea look like tefillin, Rameir's position over here is ein adam tarech. I'm not worried about that. Okay, so the Rameir over here seems to be not consistent with his general position of choshish lemiyuta. But anyway, where we stand right now is the following. We just had a discussion regarding finding tufts of wool, pieces of wool that were dyed tcheles. Can I assume that they were dyed lishma for the purposes of the mitzvah of tzitzis? So if they are strips of wool, the answer is categorically no. But if they're strings, the answer may be yes. Rav Elazar says yes. But the Gemara gave a number of circumstances in which we would have to say yes. And even as Rav Elazar says it, but Rav says our Mishnah would not seem to indicate that our Mishnah would be in agreement with the position of Rav Elazar. Good. All this presupposes that when our Mishnah talks about the distinction between old tefillin and new tefillin, so what we mean is literally old tefillin is tefillin that has been used before and it's clearly tefillin as opposed to new, which is just a brand new leather pouch, a leather box, and the uncertainty as to whether or not it's actually tefillin or it may be a kameo. Good. That's what we've been saying up until now, and the Gemara says what we're going to do now is give an entirely new approach to our Mishnah. And within this new approach to our Mishnah is then going to have nothing to say about the issue of Elazar and whether or not Adam Tarech, Ein Adam Tarech. And so here we are now presenting a totally new pshat in our Mishnah. But the following was taught by the father of Shmuel. Elu hein yeshanos kol sheyesh ben ritzios. U mikusha ros. Chadashos yesh ben ritzios, but lo mikusha ros. The simple distinction between Yeshanos and Chadashos, old tefillin, are tefillin that have the straps going through them, and also they're knotted. New tefillin is tefillin that has straps going through them, but it's not knotted. And in a moment, we're going to explain what the machlokus is. But dekulei amalot tarachinish, but according to everybody, nobody's worried that you're going to take a kameya and have the kameya look like tefillin. That's not a concern, that's not a consideration. The issue over here is simply an issue of whether or not the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, are knotted or they're not knotted. Okay. And now what comes out is as follows. That if we go back now to the Braisa, so we have two positions in the Braisa, the Shita of Rav Meir and the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Now the Shita of Rav Meir is that you can bring in the Chadashos and the Yishanos. You can bring in the ones that are, now we're going to say our Pshat that we just said. You can bring in the ones that are knotted, and you can even bring in the ones that are not knotted. Now, exactly what you're going to do, you're going to tie them, you're going to knot them. That part, according to Rav Meir, is a little bit unclear. How is Rav Meir going to allow them to bring them in? Perhaps, I'm just simply suggesting that according to Rav Meir, you just simply strap them on without tying. In other words, Rav Meir could very well be, is of the position that it's not a mitzvah on Shabbos. Although, as going back to yesterday's daf, that's a hard point to that's a hard part to defend. In fact, it seems to be pretty indefensible, meaning Shabbos is Mont Tefillin. Okay, so I'm admitting that for Rav Meir it's a little bit difficult, but for Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda, you understand very well the difference between old and new. When it comes to old tefillin, so it's already knotted, so all you're just doing is just simply putting it on. Masha'enkin, if it's new tefillin, so now you're going to need to make a knot, but you can't make a knot. because one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is kosher. You're not allowed to make a knot. So therefore, if it is brand new tefillin, i.e., the straps are there, but they're not knotted, so now for you to make a knot would be a violation of Shabbos. Good. So I understand Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, but I do have questions. V'li anvinu me'anev. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Yehuda, I know you can't make a knot, but make a bow. Why, isn't a bow going to be acceptable? So I'm Rav Chisda Zosamer Zaniva Psua B'tfilin. The Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. One is going to be a tefillin answer, and the other is going to be a Shabbos answer. First, we start with the tefillin answer provided by Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says that no, that the tefillin have to be tied, ukshartam, and the tie of the tefillin have to be done in a permanent knot. Aniva just simply doesn't cut it for the knot of tefillin. So it's a tefillin halacha. Zosamer Zaniva Psula B'tfilin. That the bow is just simply not enough. It's not going to be enough for tefillin. Abaye Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tamid Amar Nivak Shira Mal Yasehi. And Abaye says, no, I'll give you a Shabbos answer to this question. The reason why you can't make a bow is because this is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda L'Shita So. Go back to Shabbos in the parak in which we discussed the malacha of kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda taught us that making a bow is just as much an act of kosher as making a standard knot. And so that means to say that according to Rav Yehuda, the problem is going to be a Shabbos problem. Meaning, if I were to make a bow, maybe vis-a-vis the halachas of tefillin, making a bow would be acceptable. Maybe. And the Gemara is going to entertain that more in just a moment. But in terms of Shabbos, the problem is, and it's not on Shabbos, one is not allowed to make a knot. And according to Rav Yehuda, a bow is also included in the iser of making a knot. So now the Gemara says, fine. So in the second answer that we just gave, Taima Daniva Kshira Mayasihi, Halav Hachi Aniv Lahu. So the Gemara says, so good. So now take Shabbos out of the discussion, and you're telling me that a bow is going to be good for tefillin? So the Gemara says, I have a difficulty with that. V'amar Rav Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Kesha Shal Tefillin Halach LaMoshe MiSinaihu. So first of all, we know that when it comes to the Na'at Tefillin, that's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. What's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai? So Rashi over here says, the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai is the fact that we're going to be securing the knots in the shape of letters. First, the shin, which is not a knot, but the shin, which is etched into the side of the shalrosh, so that obviously represents one of the three letters. The dalet on the back of the knot of the shalrosh, the yud on the knot on the shel yad. So you put those letters together, and you get Shem Hashem. Rashi says that's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Okay, see Tosos over here for counter argument to that point, but anyway, but that is that's the understanding of Rashi. So that means to say that the knots making up Shem Hashem, the Dal and the Yud, that's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Ve'amar Rav Nachman v'Nevayim Lavar. And Rav Nachman says, and it has to be presentable. People have to see it. So that means to say that when you make the knot with the Shem Hashem, it has to be shown to the outside. So the Gemara says, so are you really prepared to say that the knots that you're going to be made up of bows, and the bows somehow are going to be able to make up Shem Hashem, make up the Dal, make up the Yod? And the Gemara right now is having a hard time conceiving that that's in fact the case. The Gemara's answer is, yeah, it's possible. So the Aniv Lahu Ke'ink Shira Didu. So the Gemara says, yeah, you can make a bow, and you can have the bows looking like a Dal, looking like a Yod. That's, what exactly happened between the Havamin and the Maskana? Not exactly clear, but anyway, good. So the Gemara says it's possible. So where do we stand right now? The Gemara just shared with us a totally new approach to the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes a distinction between Chadashos and Yishanos. Chadashos you cannot bring back in, Yishanos you can. And now our totally new approach to this is going to be that the Yishanos are tefillin that have the Ritzuros and they're already knotted. So you don't have to make a knot on Shabbos, and so therefore it would be perfectly fine for you to put them on because they are already knotted. Masha'en Kain, the Chadashos, they are not knotted, and you can't make the knot for the Chadashos. Why can't you make the knot for the Chadashos? So there are two considerations. One is that obviously on Shabbos you can't make a regular knot. So maybe the only thing that we could discuss is a bow. So one possibility is that a bow is just simply unacceptable when it comes to the Ritzuos of Tefillin, meaning that's not the mitzvah of Tefillin to make a bow. Or the other possibility is that because we're talking about on Shabbos, so and this is Shitas Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda L'Shita, so that says that a bow is considered a violation of Shabbos. Okay. Gemara is going to take us on a small digression from here until the two dots coming up. It has to do with tefillin, but admittedly is a digression. I'm Rav Chista, I'm a Rav. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, the following halacha, halokech tefillin mimisheno mumcha. So let's say you buy tefillin by somebody who's not proficient and not an expert. Now, if any sofer or mochrei tefillin were to read this Gemara right now, which hopefully they have, so their heads would explode. Meaning, what are you doing buying tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha, from somebody who's not an expert? How do you get his hands on the tefillin? So, admittedly, that's strange. On top of that, Tosfos over here points out, Tosfos, second to last Tosfos on the Amud, sounds like from the Gemara Menachos, you're not even allowed to buy from somebody who's an Eino Mumcha. So, admittedly, Tosfos points out, our Gemara is really strange. Anyway, from Rashi, the impression you get over here is that the person who's buying is not the end user, right? In fact, Rashi says very clearly that you're buying it in order to sell it to somebody else. Now, it's hard to imagine, according to Rashi, you're buying it from the sofer, because we just described that the person you're buying it from is an Eino Mumcha. Kind of hard to imagine that the sofer is somebody who's an Eino Mumcha. Okay, so if I'm right, which of course is an if, so that means to say that the sofer sold it to some sort of a wholesaler, and then he went ahead and sold it to a middleman, all right, some sort of distributor, and the distributor went ahead and sold it to the end user. Okay, and we're talking about somewhere in the middle chain of this process. Okay, sounds like that's what we're describing over here. Anyway, the halacha that the Gemara is going to discuss is the following. So now I have my buyer who just bought a lot of tefillin from one supplier. And are they good tefillin or are they not good tefillin? And the person that he bought from is an Eino Mumcha. So what do you have to do? You're going to have to check. You're going to have to check every one of them. Okay, so what Rav is going to teach us is no. You don't have to check every one of them. If let's say you check three, and we're going to go over specifically which three you need to check. And three for three check out. So now what we've established is a chazaka, meaning that this supplier is good. He's getting his tefillin from good people, from good sofrim. And so therefore, once you check three and the three check out, so then you have the chazaka and you can assume now the rest of them are good. That's the halacha that the Gemara is going to introduce us to. I'll start again. Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav, lokech tefillin mimisheinu mumcha. So you're buying tefillin from someone who's not an expert. Bodek shayim shel yad ve'echad shel rosh. O shayim shel rosh ve'echad shel yad. Now here, the bedikah has to be the following. You have to check three of the tefillin, and it has to be some combination of the shel yad shel rosh. So it could be two shel yad, one shel rosh, or it could be two shel rosh, one shel yad. So manav shach, the Gemara says, I didn't totally follow that. So if you're buying it from one individual, so then check either the three shel yad or three shel rosh. And imitrei, so tlasa gavre zavin. So or if let's say I'm buying it from two different suppliers, three different suppliers. So kavachali by bedika. So obviously now just because from one supplier they check out, but I still have to check from the other supplier. So the Gemara says, La'ola mechad gavra zavin. No. The case over here is where I bought it from one supplier. Ube inan dimitzchame b'shal yad v'shal rosh. It just happens to be that there are different skills involved in writing the shal yad and shal rosh. And so therefore, a chazaka has to be established for both the shal yad and the shal rosh. The chiddush, of course, over here is that I could take one shal yad, two shal roshes, put that together in order to get the three, which gets me my chazaka, even though I haven't done a chazaka on the shel yad independently, nor have I done a chazaka on the shel rosh independently, but I could pull together three, but I still need at least one shel yad and one shel rosh. In the Gemara says this is true. Atani Rava Bar Shmuel b'tefillin bodek shalosh shel yad v'shel rosh. So the Gemara quotes a halacha by Rava Bar Shmuel where it sounds like I only need to count three, either shel yad or shel rosh. So my love, o shalosh shel yad, o shalosh shel rosh. Isn't that the way we're supposed to read his memra? So lo shalosh me shalosh. Now it means that you need to do a bedik on three. Mehen shel yad, mehen shel rosh. At least one of them is shel yad, the other one shel rosh. And then in terms of the third one, doesn't matter. But that's how we're going to read the memra. So that memra coordinates with the memra of Rav. V'atuni Rav Kahana b'tfilin bodek shtayim shel yad v'shel rosh. Meanwhile, the Gemara says I do have a statement to Rav Kahana, who says that you need to do a bedika only on two. One shel yad, one shel rosh. So how many Rebbe? So the Gemara says, yeah, that you're right, but Rav Kahana is subscribing to the Shita of Rebbe. the Amar betrays him Havei Chazaka, because we have a machlokus throughout Shas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, how many times makes for a Chazaka. So Rabbi says two, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says three. So it happens to be that Rav Kahana is passing like Rabbi, and that's why you check two. Assuming the two check out, you have a Chazaka. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, but consider now as we go on, and that is Vechem Tzevet Hashen and Vechem Tzevet Hashlishi. So let's say you have a second batch of tefillin, a third batch of tefillin. V'i Rebbe Shlishi Mi Islay. So, and now, if we're talking about Shitas Rebbe, where I only need two to create a Chazaka, so what do you mean the third batch? Why am I checking the third batch? So the Gemara says, Modi Rebbe, B'tziv Sayim, Dimitrei, Tlasa, Gabri Zavin. So the Gemara says, no, you're talking about batches of tefillin, where I'm buying them from different suppliers? So, of course, Rebbe's going to agree that you have to do a bedikah for each one of them. So the Gemara says, okay, so why do the prices stop at three? If we're talking about buying from one supplier, two suppliers, three suppliers, so how many bedikahs do I need to do? However many suppliers I have. And that means to say that if I have four suppliers, I should be checking the four different matches. And if I have five suppliers, etc., etc. So the Gemara says, enechinami. The Gemara says, no, the point is very well taken. In fact, you're right. So the Gemara says, no. It's simply because we know we're talking about the sheet of Rebbe over here. Two creates a Chazaka. And we just wanted to get to the number three to show that over here it's not operating out of Chazaka. In other words, if it were Chazaka, so two would be sufficient. But being that they are different batches purchased from different suppliers, each one of them need their own Bedika, and three fully accentuates that. So, la'olam afilu revi v'chamishi. But of course, nami. Of course, it would be that if I bought from a fourth supplier, that would have its own bedika. Same thing with the fifth, etc., etc. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the halachas of creating a chazaka when you are buying from tefillin from a person who is an eno mumcha. We go back to our Mishnah. We are going to now go over every point that we saw in that first Mishnah, and we're going to clarify every subsequent point that we saw in the Mishnah. So far, the only thing we really discussed in the Mishnah is when you find the tefillin, you're going to bring them back home. You're going to wear them one pair at a time, two or a pair at a time. Machlokis, Tanakam, and Rebbe Gamliel. The truth of the matter is, we also discussed the next point as well, is that the Yishanos you can bring in, but the Chadashos you cannot bring in. And so far in the daf today, we have given two pshatim in terms of what exactly it means by the Chadashos. Okay, Matzan Tzvasayim O Krichos. Now, continuing the Mishnah says you find them bundled or bundled. So, my tzvasam, my krichos, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Those two words basically mean the same thing. I'm Rav Yudah, I'm a Rav. Hein hein tzvasayim, hein hein krichos. So, Rav Yudah, Rav says, yeah, they're basically the same thing. Tzvasayim, zuze, zuze. Tzvasayim are just simply pairs of tefillin, meaning a shalyan, shal rosh. And krichos, they're krich and tuva. And krichos just simply mean I have a whole bunch of them that are mixed together, but they are not paired up. But, effectively, they mean the same thing. Machshi chaleim umaviyam. So the Gemara says, now the Mishnah later on also gives another strategy, which is, what you're going to do now is you're going to wait by those tefillin until Shabbos is over, and then you're going to bring them back in again. And the Gemara says, that's confusing, because in the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked about putting them on one pair or two pair at a time, and walking them back, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, oh, you know what you should do? You should wait there. I don't understand. Which one should you do? Which strategy is preferred? The amai le alinu zug zug. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Bring him in a pair at a time. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yudali didim mefarshalei mineda abba. So he says, I got the following explanation. Kol sheila machnisim zug zug v'kalos kodem shkiyas achama machnisim zug zug. So the way to be miyashi of the Mishnah is as follows. If I could bring all the pairs of tefillin in before Shabbos has come to an end, and so therefore there is a point now of taking the time to salvage the tefillin, wearing them one pair at a time, and bringing them in, so that's what you should do. As far as the next instruction of the Mishnah, to wait, that's talking about a case where even if I were to go through the trouble of wearing them, I wouldn't get them all saved before the end of Shabbos. And so therefore, the truth of the matter is that I'm going to be there anyway until after Shabbos. So v'ilo, machshei chaleim aviyam. Anyway, I'm going to be there until after Shabbos, so I might as well just wait until after Shabbos and then bring them all back after Shabbos. Uv'tzakana, machsan v'holech. Now, if it's a shasakana, says the Mishnah, so you cover the tefillin. Now the Gemara says, v'atani v'tzakana, molichim pachos pachos me'arba'ama. So there's a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Because in the Braisa says that if I If it's a shas sakana, so then the strategy there would be to pick them up and carrying them, walking incrementally less than 4 amos, thereby not violating the isra of being mavid al amos b'rishos harambam. So the Gemara says, okay, so that obviously is a problem. Our Mishnah says cover. The Brisa says walking back pachos midal amos. So Amarav lokasha habas sakana snachri habas sakana listen. So the word sakana is not one definition. The word sakana has got multiple definitions, and the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about two different types of sakanas. Now you can take a look at Rashi over here on the top of the Amud Beis, where Rashi really struggles in terms of saying what is the correct shot, which one is the Mishnah, which one is the Brisa. Also, Rashi struggling with girsas of the Gemara. But to go over just the preferred shot of Rashi in the Gemara, so Rashi says, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about sakanas nachri. Sakanas nachri means to say that, I'm assuming it's some sort of Roman decree where somebody's caught with his tefillin, so he's going to be put to death. Elisha ben Bal Kanafayim, just being an example that we saw earlier in our Masechta. So if you're caught with tefillin, so you're going to be put to death. So there, that's the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah tell us? Cover the tefillin. Meaning, you don't want to just simply leave the tefillin over there. That's bizui. But for you to pick up the tefillin and even to wear them back home, or to walk pachos midal amos, so you're putting your life in jeopardy. So at that point in time, the strategy would be to cover it. Now, not really sure what the follow-up to that strategy is. Meaning, then what? Then come back later that evening? Maybe. But that's the Mishnah. As far as the Brice is concerned, so the Brice is talking about where it's a kind of listing. We're worried about robbers. That means to say that if you leave the tefillin over there, they're going to get absconded by the robbers. So what you want to do is you want to get the tefillin out of that area as quickly as possible. So what you're going to do now is that you're just simply going to you're going to move them. Well, how are you going to move them? So that's pachos midal amos. That's the Brisa. That's the way Rashi sets it up. Rashi's a little bit more detailed. I gave a somewhat simplistic explanation, but that's basically Rashi in his preferred explanation. So Amar le Abaye. So now as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, so Abaye says b'mayu kimta l'masisim b'sakanas ov dekol galilim. So now the Mishnah is what? The Mishnah is talking about sakanas nachri, as we just explained. So ema seifa. Yeah, but look at the end of the Mishnah where Rabbi Shimon Amar nosna chaver v'chaver l'chavero. So, and Rabbi Shimon says, make a fireman's ladder. Have a whole line of people and basically pass it from one to the other. And the Gemara says, if our Mishnah is talking about sakanas nefashos, it's talking about sakanas ovdei galilim, so you got to be kidding me. Making a fireman's ladder is probably the worst idea in the world. And you can't possibly understand our Mishnah to be talking about where there's mamish sakanas nefashos and somebody's going to get caught with fill-in. They're gonna be put to death, and Rabbi Shimon advises, hey, let's make a line of people to carry the tefillin from one person to another. The Gemara says it can't be. So kol shekein da'af shemilsa, that's gonna make a big tumult. It can't be. So chesur mechzur v'hachi ketan. So the Gemara says, okay, what we'll have to assume is that our Mishnah is missing a section, and this is how we're gonna read it all into the Mishnah. When is it that I cover the tefillin? That's talking about sakanas nachrim. However, ava b'sakanas listim molichim pachos pachos midal amos. But if it's sakanas listim, so then walking back at increments of less than 4 amos. And then on that, Rabbi Shimon went ahead and commented and said, no, make a fireman's ladder. That's going to be even better. Okay. So in the Mishnah, we're reading this, the two different types of sakanas. So for the sakanas of digalilim, cover it, like we explained. For the sakana of listim, so then bring it back. How to bring it back? Machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. What is that machlokus? The Gemara is about to explain right now. So Rabbi Shimon Amar Nosan Lechaver V'chule B'may Kamiflugi, what is exactly the machlokus? Marsav R'pachus Me'ar Ba'amos Adiv Di Amar Nosan Lechaver V'chaver L'chaver Avshem Ilso D'Shabbos. So as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, walk it back less than 4 amos. Stop within every 4 amos. That's better. Why is that better? Because if I get the whole town out into the field in order to make this fireman ladder, so Avshemilsa, that's just a lot of public display. Now we're not violating Shabbos over here, and it's for a good cause. It's to save tefillin and to protect tefillin. But still, when all said and done, to a certain degree, we are circumventing Shabbos. and to have everyone in the city involved, better that just have one person do it in a manner which is not going to violate the Shabbos, and that would be good. That's the Tanakhama. And the Rebbe Shimon says, no, the fireman's ladder is better. And the reason why a fireman's ladder is better, because with the fireman's ladder, no one's going to be violating Shabbos Min HaTorah. No one's going to have a chance of violating Shabbos Min HaTorah. Everyone's standing one place. But if you are responsible for the task of having to stop every just before four amos, so the chances are there is a chance that at one point in time you're just going to take one step too many and you're going to walk more than four amos or four amos and you're going to be violating Shabbos Min HaTorah. So therefore, I prefer, Rabbi Shimon says, I prefer the fireman's ladder where I know no one's going to be violating Shabbos under any circumstances, Min HaTorah, as opposed to the pachus midalid, where there is a chance that one individual is in fact going to be violating Shabbos. V'chein b'no. Continuing with the Mishnah went on to describe, and your son. Now, if you heard me already say the Mishnah over, so I already told you the pshat in the Mishnah based on the Gemara over here. But the only reason why I offered that pshat is because of the Gemara over here. So here the Gemara now is going to spell up pshat in the Mishnah. So b'no my bai hasam. What's your son doing out in the field? So the Gemara says, debay menashe tana b'shialdo imo. It means your newborn son. Your newborn son was born in the field. Okay, your wife was out in the field and mazel tov. She went into labor and she had the baby right in the field. So maya filo hein meya. Now the Mishnah says, now how are you going to bring him back into the house? The Rabbi Shimon says, so what you're going to do is you're going to do it via fireman's ladder. And the Mishnah says, and even if it's 100 people, so Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is over there. Da'afagav dekashule yada afilo hachi adifa. Yeah, having 100 people handle the baby. Probably not the best for a newborn. But the Gemara says, okay, but still, Rabbi Shimon feels that the methodology of using a fireman's ladder and have everyone passing it, which really removes any risk of an Isser Daraisa, violation of Isser Daraisa, Rabbi Shimon really believes that that's better. And even though the handling of the baby from one to another has some risks in it, so Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, but I'd rather those risks than the risk of somebody violating Shabbos Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nosan Adam Chavis. Now we're talking about passing the barrel from one to another and to the point where the barrel is going to go beyond the tchum of its owner. And the Mishnah here says that's fine. And the Gemara's question is, why is that fine? V'lei slei l'Rabbi Yehuda ha-didnan ha-behema v'akelem k'rag le'abalim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, who in our Mishnah talked about the barrel being passed to an area that's beyond the tchum of its owner, doesn't he know the Mishnah Beitza? Doesn't he agree with the Mishnah Beitza? The Mishnah Beitza tells us that all items that are owned by an individual are bound by the same tchum of its owner. So how can you take a barrel and move it beyond the tchum of its owner? It's a simple question. So Amar Yish Lakish Mishum Levi Saba Hachem B'Maiskin B'Ma'aran Mechavas L'Chavis V'Rav Yehuda L'Tamei Damar Ma'im Ein B'Hem Mamish. So the Gemara gives a creative answer, and that is, well, it's not that you're passing the barrel from one to another, but you're pouring the water from one to another to the point now where it's the water that went beyond tchum, and water is negligible. And in fact, this is Rav Yehuda Lashita. So Rav Yehuda holds that water is negligible. Ein bo mamish. Now, the truth of the matter is, as we're going to see together in just a moment, this is really a misrepresentation of Rav Yehuda's position as it relates to water. In very limited cases, Rav Yehuda basically says that the water is negligible. And we're going to see the case in just a moment. But over here, when the water, I'm just pouring the water from one bucket to another, from one barrel to another, you can't tell me that the water is negligible in our case over here. And the Gemara is going to ask exactly this question. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So, let me just first finish the Gemara's point. So good, so the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Beis. So the Mishnah Beis says, according to Rav Yehuda, my main b'hem mamish. So, umaylo tehalach zu. Now, in terms of fitting that into the words of our Mishnah, so the Gemara says, yeah, we can fit into the words of the Mishnah. Lo yehalech ma shebezu yosem eragle behema. So the zu over here is really talking about the water. We'll understand it as ma shebezu, that which is inside. Meaning it's talking about the water. Okay, now the Gemara is going to point out, this is really a gross misrepresentation of Rav Yehuda's attitude towards water. So, Eimet Hashem Alei L'Rav Yehuda Heichad Debalim Be'Isa. Yeah. Do you know when Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that water is negligible and we don't have to take into account water whatsoever? That is, let's say, for example, I have dough made up of a flour and water, and the flour is contributed by one person who has one set of tchum, and the water is contributed by another person who has another set of tchum. But now when the flour and water is mixed together to make dough, so now the water is no longer visible, no longer evident, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, now it's negligible. In that case over there, but if I could see the water, Rabbi Yehuda will not tell you that you could just simply ignore the water. And I'll tell you this, Rabbi Yehuda, in a case similar to the dough, so he's telling you that you can't ignore the water, Ditanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Maima Melech Betelem Beisa. That as far as water and salt, so you put that in the dough, okay, you don't see that anymore. Obviously, it's necessary for the dough, but you don't see that anymore. So, the Ein Betelem Begedera, Mimnei Rotva. But you put water into a dish, right? You're cooking something, so the water doesn't become negated. In other words, you can clearly see the water. You see the water as far as the sauce is concerned. So therefore, the water cannot be ignored. And over here, we're talking about a barrel of water, so of course the water over here can't be ignored. So the Gemara says, okay, so this answer just simply doesn't work. The idea that I'm pouring the water from bucket to bucket, and this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita say. No, it's not Rabbi Yehuda Shita say. Rabbi Yehuda only says that the only time that water can be ignored is if it's part of a dough. But not if I could see the water. So Alam Rav Hach Bechavish Kanta Shvisa Umayim Shlo Kana Shvisa Askinan. So Debatla Chavis Legabe Mayim. So the Gemara gives now another suggestion, and that is that we're talking about water that was not Kona Shvisa. Water itself does not have a particular, is not bound by any tchum. Now it happens to be the barrel that it's in is bound by tchum, but so what? So the Kedinan, we learned back in Shabbos, Amotzei, Achai b'mita, Pater af alamita. Someone who carries, somebody who's alive now, carrying somebody who's alive on Shabbos is not an Issa Doraisa, Chai no se esatzmo, and you carry him on the bed. Now carrying the bed by itself obviously would be the Malach of Otzah. But over here, the bed is servicing the Chai, so therefore we view the bed as just simply tuffle to the Chai. And so therefore it's not an act of carrying. You're not carrying the bed. A second example of this very same idea, that if I were to take out an amount of food that's less than the shear, and it's in a kli, and I carry it outside on Shabbos, so you're going to be pater. The food is less than the shear, and the kli is only there servicing the food, and the kli is tuffle to the food. So over here, we're going to say the same thing regarding the barrel and water. The barrel is tchum-less, with no tchum, the water is tchum-less, the barrel has a tchum, but the barrel becomes tuffle, it becomes just simply a subsidiary to the water. And just like the water now can go beyond tchum, because there is no tchum for the water, so to the barrel as well. So Mezer Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Amar B'Shayara Nosin Adam Chavetz L'Chaver V'Chaver L'Chaver B'Shayara In Shlo B'Shayara Lo. Now, Rav Yosef is bothered because I have a brisa, says Rav Yosef. And the brisa over here talks about the carrying of the water on Shabbos, carrying it outside of Tchum. And the brisa says, yeah, you know when it's okay? When you're in a Shayara. So we just talked about a Shayara a couple days ago in the Daf. The idea is that your caravan, you're traveling. And so it's traveling is tough, right? A lot tougher back then. And so when you're traveling and you have these encampments, so you could be a little bit more lenient. You can do this kind of fireman's ladder with the barrel of water, even though it's going to go beyond tchum. So from the brisa, it sounds like the only time that's allowed is only under the consideration of a shayara. So Elam Rav Yosef ki tanan nami b'masisim b'shayara tanan. So Rav says okay. So what, I'm sorry, Rav Yosef says okay. So as far as our mishnah is concerned, so I'll say just simply based on the brisa, our mishnah is also talking about only in the case of a shayara. So Rav Yosef significantly limits the amount of time that one can take a barrel and take it outside of Tchum. Abaye Amar B'Shayara. Abaye says, we don't have to say that. Meaning, I'm not going to ignore the Braisa, but we can be Miyashiv the Braisa of the Mishnah. B'Shayara in Shalom, Abaye Amar B'Shayara, Afilu Chav Shekanta Shvisa, Umayim Shekanta Shvisa. So Abaye says like this, when you're in a Shayara, so then the ability to take the barrel beyond the tchum of its owner, so that you're allowed to do. Again, the shayara is somewhat of a shasat chak. People really need the water. We're traveling right now. So to move the barrel beyond the tchum of its owner, so that's fine. That's acceptable. Shalob a shayara, but if you're not in a shayara, so in other words, normal circumstances, so then chavisha kansa shvisa, umayim shalokana shvisa, so then you're going to go to our case over here. The barrel has a makam shvisa, but the water in it does not have a makam shvisa. Let's say, by the way, I didn't point this out earlier. How can water not have a makam shvisa? It comes from a running stream. Maybe it rained and the water came from the rain. Either way, so that would be a circumstance. Now, which, so then you can move the barrel beyond tchum. Why? Because the water does not have a tchum, and the barrel is secondary to tuffle to the water. So, like we explained earlier, Ravashi Amar Hacha Bechavis Dehefker Askinan. Ravashi says that the barrel over here is hefker. Umayim Dehefker Askinan. So is the water. Uman Amru Lo. So fine. So everything is hefker. So that's why, according to the Tanakama of our Mishnah, or let's say Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, it's fine. Meaning because it's hefker and therefore it does not have a tchum. And then Amar Lo, then who's arguing? So that's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Damer chefse hefker konin shvisa. And so that is the shita of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, as we saw earlier in our Masechta a number of times, that chefse hefker, in fact, are konin shvisa. And so therefore, that's the Amru Lo of our Mishnah arguing with shitas Rav Yehuda. Umay lo sahalach ze yosem ragle habalim. So, and as far as it shouldn't go more than ragle habalim, meaning it's very hard to imagine that we're setting up our Mishnah as a case of Chefze Hefker, and meanwhile talking about its owners. This just doesn't fit into the language of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Lo Yahu Eilo Yoser Mikalim Sheish Lam Balim. So no, we're just comparing this to Kalim that do in fact have Balim. That's how we'll have to say Pshat in the Mishnah if we're going to assume that we're talking about Chefze Hefker. Adka. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap, review our daf. We started off by saying over halacha in finding wool. When you find dyed wool, dyed tcheles, so can that wool be assumed to be used for tzitzis, meaning was it dyed lishma? Answer is that if I find strips of wool, the answer is categorically no. If I find strings of wool, the answer may be yes. If it's strings of wool and it's twisted and it's cut to size, so then there is a lot of evidence that would indicate that this was intended to be used for tzitzis, and therefore it would be kosher. That's at least the halacha as told to us by Rav Elazar. The Gemara wants to know, is that going to be comparable to our Mishnah? Or is that going to work in light of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that you can't take out, you can't walk back the new tefillin with the concern that this new tefillin really is in fact a kameya. And somebody went through the trouble and went through the effort of making a kameya looking just like tefillin. Can we say the same thing over here, that someone's going to go through the trouble of making the strings of wool, dyeing them blue, and meanwhile, they weren't intended for tzitzis? Okay, and the back and forth that revolved around whether or not our Mishnah is going to be supporting Rav Elazar or seemingly going against the Shita of Rav Elazar. Good. That takes us to Sadi Zion Amud Aleph. The Gemara on the top of Sadi Zion gives an entirely new pshat in our Mishnah altogether. The difference between new tefillin and old tefillin, where our Mishnah told us that old tefillin, that you can walk back, new tefillin you cannot walk back. What's the difference between them? So a totally new pshat in our Mishnah, and that is, a new tefillin have straps but are not tied. They're not knotted, as opposed to old tefillin, which have straps and they're knotted. So the old tefillin, just simply put them on. The new tefillin, the problem is that they're not tied, and so therefore, you can't tie them on Shabbos. Why can't you tie them on Shabbos? Or the Gemara's question is, why can't you tie them with a bow? So the Gemara had two answers to this question. Tefillin answer, Shabbos answer. Tefillin answer, that was the answer of Rav Chista, because the mitzvah of knotting your tefillin has to be with a kesher and not with a bow. That's one answer. And the second answer, Abai's answer, is no, Shabbos answer. Meaning, remember, this is Shitas Rav Yehuda we're coming to explain over here. Rav Yehuda Shitas, or Rav Yehuda's of the position, as we learned in the Gemara in Shabbos, that making a bow is as much a malacha of kosher as making a standard knot. Good. So the two answers to the question. Okay, the Gemara had a couple of follow-ups over here. Anyway, a next discussion that we had in our Gemara was if I'm purchasing tefillin from an Eino Mumcha, I'm buying it from a supplier who's just simply not a mumcha. So at what point in time, when I check the tefillin, can I say it checks out, even though the person that I bought it from is not fully reputable? So the answer is three, assuming that a chazakah is made by three, and two is going to be of the shel rosh and one of the shel yad, or two of the shel yad and one of the shel rosh. Okay. The Gemara says that according to Rebbe, where a chazakah is two, so then the chazakah only needs to be done by two. If I'm buying from different suppliers, so then a bedika has to be done from each of the suppliers. Which brings us now to the bottom side, Zayin Amud Aleph, and just a clarification of a number of points in the Mishnah. The terms Tvasai and Krichos, what exactly do those terms mean? Why is the Mishnah talking about spending the rest of Shabbos over there, waiting until Shabbos ends, and then bringing it back after the Mishnah told us that you can wear them one pair at a time? So the Gemara gave pshat at that point in the Mishnah. The pshat is that if you have enough time to bring it back before Shabbos is over, then do so. Otherwise, wait till Shabbos is over. In the time of Sakana, you cover them. The Brisa says in the time of Sakana, you bring them back. Pachos, pachos, midal amos. How do we resolve the Mishnah versus the Brisa? Different types of Sakanos. Sakanos nachriim. Where if you're caught with tefillin, so you're going to be persecuted, perhaps executed. So for that, you just cover the tefillin. If on the other hand the sakanas listim, where you're afraid that if you leave the tefillin there, it's going to be stolen by listim. So then you bring the tefillin back home, but in a way that is halachically acceptable, less than four amos or making a fireman's ladder. Of those two options, it was machlokus in the Mishnah, which is preferable. What is the machlokus? So that was the next step of the Gemara, where the Gemara explained what exactly is the machlokus between why is it preferable to walk pachos pachos midalad versus making a fireman's ladder. The Mishnah goes on to discuss your son being out in the field. What does that mean? Explanation, it's your newborn son that was found out in the field. The Rebbe Yehuda says you can make a fireman's ladder with a barrel, even though ultimately the barrel is going to be taken outside of Tchum. The Gemara's question, very simple. You're not allowed to do that. The Mishnah Beitza says that the Tchum of a person follows its owner. So if the owner is bound by Tchum, his possessions are bound by the same Tchum. So what is our Mishnah talking about? What is Rav Yehuda talking about? So for this, the Gemara started off with one proposal. Maybe it's water, maybe water is negligible. The Gemara dismissed that out of hand. So then the Gemara gives a couple of pshatim. One pshat the Gemara gives is that we're talking about where the water is tchumless, it's ownerless, and the barrel has a tchum, but the barrel is servicing the water, much like the cases of the chai on the bed and the case of the ochel pachos mikashir on the kli. So the where the bed and the kli are just simply tuffel, and therefore it is not going to be a violation of otzah. Over here, it's not going to be a violation of tchum. That's one suggestion. The second suggestion is that we're talking about cheftei hefker, with the barrel's hefker, the water's hefker, and therefore it does not have a tchum. It's a little bit tricky to read that into our Mishnah, but the Gemara does that. Ad Kan, we'll stop over here.